Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Stolen Focus, Why You Can't Pay Attention and How to Think Deeply Again by Johann Hari investigates a problem many people feel daily, the sense that sustained concentration is slipping away. Rather than treating distraction as a personal failure, the book frames it as the predictable outcome of modern systems, from attention-driven technology to workplace pressures and broader social conditions. Hari draws on interviews with researchers, clinicians, and people affected by these forces to map why reading, studying, creative work, and even conversations can feel harder than they used to. The central promise is practical and hopeful. If attention is being undermined by identifiable causes, then attention can also be rebuilt through changes in habits, environments, and policy. The book moves between science reporting, cultural critique, and self-help, aiming to show how deep focus is connected to mental health, meaningful relationships, and a more satisfying life. It encourages readers to look beyond quick fixes and consider what needs to change around them. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, attention is not just willpower, but an environment-shaped capacity. A core idea in the book is that focus is not simply a moral virtue you either possess or lack. Hari presents attention as a limited mental resource that is heavily influenced by surroundings, incentives, and constant demands. When life is structured around interruptions, speed, and multitasking, people are pushed into shallow thinking even if they value depth. This reframing reduces shame and opens the door to realistic solutions. Instead of trying to overpower distraction with more grit, the reader is encouraged to identify what is draining attention and redesign conditions to make concentration easier. That can include reducing competing stimuli, building routines that protect uninterrupted time, and acknowledging that the brain needs recovery. The book also highlights how social norms matter. If colleagues expect instant replies or if platforms are designed to pull you back repeatedly, individual self-control alone will struggle. By treating attention like a shared public good, the topic shifts the conversation from personal blame to practical leverage points. What can be changed in daily settings, what can be negotiated in workplaces, and what needs collective action. Secondly, the attention economy and technology that competes for your time, Hari emphasizes that many digital tools are not neutral. They are built to maximize engagement, which often means maximizing interruption and emotional stimulation. Notifications, feeds, and endless scroll patterns push the mind toward rapid switching rather than sustained reflection. The result is not only less time for deep work, but also a habit of seeking quick hits of novelty, making slower tasks feel unusually effortful. This topic explores how the design of platforms can amplify distraction through variable rewards, social comparison, and constant updates. Hari also discusses why blaming users misses the point. If a product is engineered to keep you hooked, it will outperform ordinary self-discipline. The book suggests reclaiming control by changing default settings, limiting cues that trigger checking behavior, and creating phone-free or app-free zones for reading and thinking. More importantly, it argues for structural changes such as business model reform and stronger accountability for companies whose profits rely on capturing attention. The message is that regaining focus is easier when the incentives of the system stop rewarding distraction. Thirdly, stress, overwork, and the collapse of deep thinking. Another major topic is the role of chronic stress and workplace pressure in shrinking attention spans. When people are overloaded, worried about security, or constantly evaluated, the brain prioritizes short-term survival signals over exploration and insight. Hari connects this to modern work patterns, fragmented days, high-volume communication, and performance metrics that reward responsiveness rather than quality. In such conditions, even motivated readers may find it hard to maintain long attention on complex material. The book highlights that deep focus requires a sense of safety, time, and mental space, all of which are undermined by burnout culture. Practical implications include advocating for realistic workloads, scheduling blocks of uninterrupted time, and building boundaries around communication. It also points toward broader questions about labor expectations and economic precarity. If attention is essential for learning, creativity, and good judgment, then a society that normalizes exhaustion is effectively sabotaging its own capacity to solve problems. This topic encourages readers to view rest, sleep, and humane work design not as luxuries, but as prerequisites for sustained concentration. Fourthly, food, sleep, and the body as a foundation for concentration, Hari broadens the focus beyond screens by emphasizing that attention is embodied. Sleep deprivation, poor diet, and constant physiological strain can reduce the brain's ability to sustain effortful thinking. This topic frames concentration as something supported by biological systems that need consistent care. When sleep is short or irregular, working memory and emotional regulation suffer, making distractions harder to resist. When diet is dominated by ultra-processed patterns and energy swings, mental clarity can feel unstable. Hari links these factors to modern lifestyles, in which convenience often replaces restoration, and where people are encouraged to push through fatigue. The reader takeaway is not that a perfect routine is required, but that small changes can have outsized effects on attention. Protecting sleep windows, reducing late-night stimulation, and building nourishing meals can make deep work feel less like a battle. By placing bodily health alongside digital hygiene, the book argues that attention recovery is multi-factor. It is easier to think deeply again when the mind is not fighting exhaustion, hunger cycles, or stress-driven inflammation. Lastly, rebuilding deep focus through meaningful connection and deliberate practice, the book ultimately aims to move from diagnosis to recovery, emphasizing that deep attention can be rebuilt through deliberate practice and social support. Hari highlights how isolation and constant low-quality interaction can fragment the mind. When relationships are thin and time is filled with low-stakes stimulation, it becomes harder to commit to the sustained effort required for reading, learning, and creative work. This topic centers on rebuilding a life that makes depth rewarding, choosing activities that foster immersion, cultivating hobbies that require patience, and setting up rituals that protect thinking time. It also underscores the value of community-level changes, such as workplace norms that respect boundaries and schools that support concentration rather than perpetual testing pressure. The approach is not a single productivity hack, but a shift in values towards slower, richer engagement. Readers are encouraged to seek environments and relationships that reinforce attention, such as shared phone-free meals, dedicated reading time, and projects that provide a sense of purpose. In this framing, deep focus becomes both a personal skill and a cultural choice. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who feel constantly scattered, including students, knowledge workers, creatives, parents, and anyone worried that their ability to read, learn, or think clearly is fading. It is also useful for leaders and educators because it treats attention as a systems issue, not merely an individual weakness. The benefit to a reader's life comes from the book's wider lens. It connects focus to sleep, stress, work design, digital incentives, and social habits, helping you identify which pressures are draining your mind and which changes will actually restore it. That can translate into better learning, more satisfying work, calmer moods, and deeper relationships, because sustained attention supports all of them. Compared to many similar books that offer narrow productivity tactics, Stolen Focus stands out by combining accessible reporting with a clear argument about the attention economy and the conditions needed for deep thinking. It gives readers both personal strategies and a language for advocating change at home, at work, and in policy. If you want a grounded roadmap that goes beyond simple screen time advice, this book is worth buying. If you would like to support Johan Hari, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.